0. I was right
Love
on the dot.
Were you? Wow, it was 3 seconds off.
This is All About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009. Featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Yay! All right. Thank you, Bus People.
Yes. Welcome to the show. It's good to have you with us. Where's my notes? Okay. It is August the 5th, 2021, at 7:01 p.m.
PM.
On August
Eastern.
Yeah. Eastern time. Yes.
Eastern daylight time.
It's still daylight time. I guess it is. You know, it is getting dark, though, in the mornings, because I normally get up at, you know, around between anywhere between 6 o'clock in the morning and 12 noon, depending on what day it is. And I've done at 6 a.m. that it's now dark, and normally it was almost like it was, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning for some reason.
Yeah.
It was like always bright. Now I get in and I'm like, wow, what? It's dark. So
I noticed that too. I mean, once that first day of summer hit us, it just all of a sudden started to get dark a lot faster. Yeah,
like the Earth is tilting back the other way all of a sudden. It's like
all of a sudden it's just like, whoa, okay, we've hit that. Let's go the other way. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But I noticed that too. It's getting dark a lot faster. And like you say, in the mornings, I usually get up about between 7 and 7:30, and I've noticed it's a lot darker at 7 o'clock than it has been, just two weeks ago.
It's rain or something, but it's not raining. So in the morning, at least not here. So I always think it's storm clouds or something. And I'm looking, I'm like, okay, it's not even, cloudy out, but it's dark. But autumn is when?
When is autumn is, I don't know. October?
Is it?
No. September.
No. Okay. And I noticed preseason football starts tonight. Where's my clapping thing?
Where is it?
Cowboys and Indians? Cowboys and, what is it, Pittsburgh? Philadelphia? One of those teams. They start,
I don't know
tonight,
who it
so.
Is. Yeah.
8 o'clock. So
I know the Bucks play the Cowboys for their first regular season game on September the 9th. So that's almost here. I mean, that's getting
that's
close
nice.
Too. So football is almost upon us.
Yeah.
Seemed like hockey season just ended, which it did. Now we got football almost here. And so.
A lot of, if we'll continue on. Oh, what's the topic tonight? Oh, wine. Oh, okay.
Wine. All about wine. Yeah. got some stories, as always, just some stories to tell, a few things to pass on. I think I'm going to turn it over to you for a few minutes here, Mike, and let you tell our people who have been guests on the show and some of the things that they've had to offer. So I'm going to let you do that here. So it's all yours.
Turn on the keyboard here. Get the drums ready. All right, hold on. Let me play this. All right, let's try it. Okay, back in October, co-directors Mark Johnson and Mark Ryan and writer Michael Karam were on the show October 8, 2020. The movie Wine and War, The Untold Story of Wine in the Middle East, is about survival, resilience, and struggles. Wine has been in Lebanon culture for 7,000 years. They are raising money for CAPHO, a great organization, and you can go to wineandwar.com, wineandwar.com. Click the Watch Now button, and that'll take you to where you need to go to watch it. On October the 15th, Jim Loughran was on the show. He's a certified wine educator and author. You can visit jimloughran.com. That's Jim, LaughRen.com. And he has two quick books right now out called The 15-Minute Guide to Red Wine, which is only 28 pages of good reading, and 15-Minute Guide to White Wine, which is another quick read and a handy reference to have as well. Check that out on Amazon. On October 29th, we welcomed Joy Neighbors to our Halloween special. She is the author of The Family Tree Cemetery Field Guide, How to Find, Record, and Preserve Your Ancestors' Graves, including topics to plan your trip to the cemetery, research, make sense of your research, and digging deeper into other records or preserving cemeteries. It's available at Barnes & Noble's, Amazon, and other outlets. On November 19th, we welcomed Michael Brown, author of Pinot Rocks, and he's also a winemaker. The book is available on Amazon.com. Pinot Rocks is available in any format, and the audio format is great because William Shatner did the audiobook version of his book. That's right, Captain Kirk. On January 14th, we had a great conversation with Cap Kaplowitz, a podcaster and blogger of Cigars, Spirits, Coffee, and Wine, and All About Wine's own show host, Ron, is also the wine panelist on the show. For more information, visit kaplowitz.xyz. That's kaplowitz.xyz. On February 11th, 2021, we had founder and producer of Beer, Wine, and Spirits, Jeff Bradford, on the show, the filmmaker dedicated to revealing the stories behind the labels of our favorite drinks. On February 25th, we welcome Natalie McLean, podcast host of the popular Unreserved Wine Talk. She's also an author of Red, White, and Drink All Over, and Unquenchable, a tipsy quest for the world's best bargain wines, plus several quick reads available on her website. She is also the wine expert on CTV's The Social, which is Canada's largest daytime television show, CTV News, and Global Television's morning show. You can pick up her Ultimate Food and Wine Pairing Guide for free by visiting her website at nataliemaclean.com/allaboutwine. That's nataliemaclean.com/allaboutwine. That was Red, White, and Drink All Over. Red, White, and Drink All Over. But, yeah.
There you go. A lot of great guests over end of last year and coming into this year. And we're always still looking for other guests. So if you know anybody, or if you are a person involved with wine, then email us at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. allaboutwine101@gmail.com. And we will get you scheduled and tell you all the procedures to do that. Very simple, very easy. It's not difficult. So if you'd like to be on the show.
Anywhere in the world. We've had Italy was on here. We've had someone from Bali. Australia? Or who was
it? Australia, yeah.
We've had international. So anywhere in the world you're at, we can connect. We'll, you know, there's ways of doing that. So connect with us and let us know you want to be on the show. Speaking of Cap, weren't you telling me before the show started that you were on the program?
Yeah, we were on a panel last night. We did a panel group last night, but we were talking about connecting in different ways. And he said that he does and gets more response from Twitter and from Instagram than just about anything else. He says Instagram is really a good good source for people to connect with him. So I told him, wow, it's, you know, I don't think we use Instagram that much. So it might be something that we check into. So it's another source there for getting a name out there. But it was fun. He we were talking about how wine and everything has changed because of the COVID, because of the pandemic, and how the tasting has become so remote. And he said, we have a coffee expert in the show, and he said the same thing there. He's starting to notice that they're doing coffee tastings remotely, and they're doing the cigars are starting to do remote. So it's an ongoing, what would you call it, a transition now that we're going through with all these different things and all that. So it's interesting. It's interesting what's happening.
That's what I was going to ask, if you found out, or if you talked about the other industries out there that have been affected. And that's you know, a good update that, you know, there, it's not just wine and, you know, what we talk about. It's other, you know, beverages and everything. It's been affected.
Yeah, it is.
And still.
And it's still going on. It's changed the whole outlook on things. People are starting to look to do remote. Before it was like, what, remote? Now it's, you do remote, don't you? I mean, it's just a completely different approach to everything. So, yes, it is. It's changing quite a bit, and the whole thing. One thing we did talk about, which it's not wine, but coffee. Well, we have a coffee guy that's on the panel, and coffee prices will probably be going up. Brazil had themselves some serious, serious weather problems. They had temperatures in Brazil's coffee growing region fell below freezing, and it's not a good time for it to do it. And when it fell below freezing, it affected a lot of the beans and a lot of the crops. And so it's going to, prices fell a little bit, but it's going to be even worse. Some areas it affected as much as 60% of their plantings. And so they said they're looking at reducing the outlook for 2022, which could also cause the stock cost to be down, and is going to result in higher prices. And especially with the Arabica beans, which is the ones that Starbucks uses, and you know, quite a few of the chains and all that get their beans from Brazil, their Arabica beans from Brazil. And so it's going to be more expensive. Your Starbucks Grande may end up costing you more over the next 6 months because of the problems that they're having with the beans in Brazil. So that's something that we talked about last night. That's a problem. Freezing weather, unusual freezing weather, and hailstorms and stuff. So not a good thing. Not a good thing for the people who are avid coffee drinkers out there. You're going to have to budget more for your morning coffee. New York Wine Experience. We talked about this in the past, and it's coming up again. I think we may be too late, though. It's going to be at the Marriott Marquis, New York City, October 21st to the 23rd of this year. And it is it's sold out. Weekend registrations have been sold out. You can join the wait list. Go to nywineexperience.com and put your name on the wait list. So there's always the possibility you can get. But it is the 40th anniversary seminar programs. They've got speakers. They've got California Cabernet Sauvignon growers. You've got chefs that are going to be on there. Emerald, Danny Meyer, Eric Rippert, Jose Andre. Now, these, you know, award-winning chefs from around the country and around the world. A whole list of wineries that are going to be participating, as always. The grand tasting ticket information is, I believe the grand tasting is still open. The registration for the, the registration for the shows and stuff like that, I think is hit the max, but you can still do some tastings. Go to NewYorkWineExperience.com and you can click on the tasting and see what they have to offer there. So, but that's coming up October the 21st through the 23rd. But the tasting is going to be Thursday, October 21st, and Friday, October 22nd. And there's a whole bunch of wineries going to be there. I'm not even going to start going through the list of all of them. It's just you name a winery you've heard of, and it will be there. I mean, that's pretty much how it's going to break down, as always, on those things. I don't know if there's going to be – they usually have them at other places, not just in New York, but also at other places. And so if that's the case, then I'll let you know. There's usually one in Miami. There's usually one in Chicago and one on the West Coast in San Francisco. But it doesn't say anything on this paper here, and they usually tell you that it is coming up with some more in the future. So I don't know. But those, that's what you can look forward to on that. Also, something I found out last night when we were talking, big cigar people on the panel there, and they point out that the Cigar Aficionados Big Smoke is going to be at Las Vegas on the weekend of November the 5th and 6th at the Mirage. Tickets are almost sold out on that thing. The Big Smoke evening tickets are selling fast. The Big Smoke evening tickets is two unforgettable nights of cigars, food, drinks, and more. It says collect 20 plus premium cigars from the best cigar makers in the world. And there is a tote bag that's included with every ticket. And so the seminar ticket packages is sold out, but you can still get in on the Big Smokes. And there's plenty of places to stay in Las Vegas. It's not like you're going to be shut out of anything. The seminars is November the 6th. It's the number one cigar in the world, and they pick a new one for the new year. And then they three distinct regions that you get a chance to hear about: Cameroon, Cuba, and Connecticut, and just different stuff. But that's sold out. You can put your name on the wait list on that also. LasVegasBigSmoke.com is the website. So go to that, LasVegasBigSmoke.com, and you can check out the information there. And I'm sure they have a wait list on that also. So those are some things coming up that you might look into. There's also, I saw somewhere, and I was thinking it was here, but I don't know. But I saw somewhere where there's some stuff coming. Oh, the Grand Tour. Here we go. All right. The Grand Tour. The Taste Exceptional Wines rated 90-plus points. You can purchase tickets and learn more at grandtour.winespectator.com. And the tickets are on sale now. There's going to be three of them. One at Las Vegas on Saturday, December 4th. One in Washington, D.C., Friday, December the 10th, and one in Chicago, Wednesday, December the 15th. And there's going to be over 200 wineries there from around the world: Argentina, Australia, Chile, France, Germany, Greece, Hungary, Israel, New Zealand, Portugal, Spain, Uruguay, U.S., just to name a few. There's other countries there also. So there's going to be wine available from all over the world. But this is, all of them are rated 90-plus points or better. So 90 points or better. So it's going to be just a phenomenal tasting. I have no idea how much the tickets are. Again, grandtour.winespectator.com, and you can check out prices and availability and everything there. So, yeah, Greece, Hungary, Israel, South Africa. Yeah, they got all sorts of countries, and all, again, are rated 90 plus. So there are going to be some great wines available in that tasting. New York, Washington, D.C., and no, not New York, Las Vegas, Washington, D.C., and Chicago. So you can check that stuff out. Oh, and while I was doing that, my computer there, okay. My computer hadn't been talked to in a while, and it got a little miffed, and so it turned itself off there. Okay, here we go. So, information. Before we get into information, though, something else that once I find it here, I'm going to fill you in on some other stuff of other wineries and things that are happening, which I have been amiss at not passing it on to you. So I'm going to take this opportunity to do this. Waltz Vineyard, W-A-L-T-Z, Waltz Vineyard. They are 2021 Finger Lakes International Wine and Spirits Competition Awards. They entered in and they got gold medals for their 2020 Sauvignon Blanc, the 2020 Fusion, 2020 Moscato, and their 2017 Cabernet Franc, which is not available for purchase. Best Rosé in the competition, a 2020 Stiegel Rosé. It's a blend of Estate, Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Cabernet Franc. Notes of tart strawberry and citrus finished. And then silver medals, they got four of them. 2017 Cherry Tree Merlot, 2017 Crow Woods Cab, 2019 Reserve Chardonnay, and 2019 Semillon. And Chardonnay and Semillon are not currently available for purchase. So congratulations to Waltz Vineyard on their awards there. And let's see what else is happening there at Waltz Vineyard. They got different events coming up all through August. They've got evening and music on August 15th. They've got this weekend, today's the 50th, on the Saturday, they have a birthday party going on. Everyone's invited. Tailgate Festival on September 18th. They have multiple locations. So if you happen to be in Pennsylvania, there are multiple locations for them. They have the Meinheim Estate Winery Tasting Room, the Kitchen Kettle Tasting Room, and the Market at Wilbur Lititz Tasting Room. So all those available. Waltz Winery is located in Mannheim, Pennsylvania, on 1599 Old Line Road. And so they are available. Let's see, I think there's another Waltz here too. Yeah, there it is. And this one is Saturday, August the 7th. They've got a concert going on, the music by Mark DeRose and the Dreadnoughts. And it's a blue-eyed soul and classic rocks, 60s and 70s. Always, always good stuff when you're drinking wine. Van Morrison, Dave Matthews, Doobie Brothers, Allman Brothers, and the band are all groups that they cover. So that's coming up this Saturday. Gates open at 4:30. Entertainment's at 5:30 to 8:30. Concerts are complimentary for club members, $15 for guests, so it's only $15, which is really a good price. Sit around, drink wine, listen to music, and chill Walsh Vineyards again. So if you're up in that area, do it. If you're 10, drop me an email. Let me know. Was. That sounds like a great time and a lot of fun. This Rumbauer Vineyards. Rumbauer Vineyards is located in two places, St. Helena and Plymouth. St. Helena is in Napa Valley. Plymouth, California, in the Sierra Foothills. You can get a hold of them at Rumbauer Vineyards. I think it's just rumbauer.com. It's the info at rumbauer.com. And you can find out all the information you want there. But they have a third annual harvest celebration coming up. So that is going to be October 16th and October 17th, Saturday and Sunday, 11 to 3 on both of them. So that's a couple months away, but it's still, you can get yourself scheduled, lined up to go visit them. It's going to be at the Rumbauer Vineyards in St. Helena, in Napa Valley on Silverado Trail. They're right there on the main drag going through town. So you can go to info at Rumbauer, RUMBAUER.com. They were a guest on the show. We talked to some people from Rumbauer, so you can get a hold of them. And let's see what else we've got here. A couple other things. Vinovest, again, a past guest, David Butler from Vinovest. He is the person we talked to about doing futures and stuff in wine. And they have an e-letter. If you don't get it, then it's you can always sign up for it. But right now they're saying the 2019 Rumbauer Vineyard Chardonnay is the wine to drink now. The 2016 Harlan Estate Cabernet is the wine to invest in. The Willamette Valley's sixth annual trade auction will take place August the 5th, which is today. Wow. It includes a whole bunch of different wines and all that. So I guess, well, you might be able to get online and still get into it simply because it's 7 o'clock here and they're 3 hours behind us. So they're like 4:30 in the afternoon there. I don't know if it's a daytime auction or not, but there's something there. And they also have something here on this site, which I was going to talk about later, but this is even better because I can just tell you a little bit right here. It says, the rains in Germany, and I don't know if you've noticed the flooding. Oh, my gosh, go online and type in floods in Germany, and it's just it's devastating, absolutely devastating. Germany and what other country? I can't think right now, but just devastating. But wild rains in Germany dealt a heavy blow to a community of winemakers. Vineyards of the Ahr Valley, AHR, Ahr Valley, have been largely devastated and entirely destroyed by the torrential rains, which led to flooding and mudslides. And it, again, if you go online, you can pull up the pictures of it and just see what that flooding, it was just an unbelievable amount of water that came down. It's situated along the Ahr River. The region has around 40 vineyards, many which have seen their facilities totally wiped out because of the flood. Wine Spectator noted that the luckier vineyards only saw their cellars flooded, while the most unfortunate saw their vines ruined, equipment destroyed, with the full extent of the devastation still not completely known. It's fair to say that flooded cellars are pretty heartbreaking for winemakers. And it depends on how it is. If it gets in the tanks, which it shouldn't, the tanks should be airtight. But if it happens to get in the tanks, it could destroy the whole harvest. It said a noted Pinot Noir producer of the region, Weingutmeier Nickel, was completely destroyed. Just really, really heartbreaking. Even worse was the human tragedy of the flooding, which included the deaths of nearly 200 people between Germany and Belgium. Okay, there's the other country I was trying to think of, Belgium. It just escaped my mind right then. The article here says, our hearts go out to all. Says, in a homage to Germany during this difficult time, there's three wines from the country to try. Dom de Chant Werner 2018, Kirchenstück Riesling GG Trocken, and the Gunnerlag 2016, Patenthal Riesling GG Gross Trocken, and the Franz Keller 2016, Eisenberg Juttingen Spätburgunder. All of them are rated 90, 91, 92. So just a tragedy in those floods there. Really, really sad. If you get an opportunity, I highly recommend you go and check out the pictures of Belgium and of Germany. Just type in your search engine, flood pictures, Belgium and Germany, and it'll just is a lot of there. And it shows houses, you know, four-story houses, and the roofs are taken off of these houses and stuff. I mean, the flood just, it was so much rain so fast, and it just came down through the rivers and just tore up everything. But wineries were destroyed, vineyards were destroyed and all that. So again, and not to mention, again, there's over 200 people have lost their lives during that flooding. So our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody there in the Germany side with all those floods. Getting floods around the country, though, a little bit here and there on the eastern side of the country because of quite a bit of rain. So there's a lot of rain going around in different areas. I've seen areas, notes that say that there's flooding around the area. So let me – oh, what happened? Oh, I clicked the wrong button. Let me go back to this. And that's not going to do it. And let me go back to this, and let me go into this. And
I do have a quick update. You were talking about the Wine Spectator Grand Tour.
Right.
Yeah, Wine Spectator Grand Tour, three cities, three spectacular wine tastings. Tickets are on sale on their website. General admission for all three locations is $250. However, for an extra $100, you can get VIP admission, which is $350. And it's the same price whether you go to Las Vegas, Washington, D.C., or Chicago. And all the information is on, like you mentioned, grandtour.winespectator.com. All the information is there. And purchase your tickets. And it looks like a very big event. It's going to be great. So check it out. There's
I have to point out, you say $350. The $350, the VIP, I think that gives you an extra hour and a half, 2 hours at the beginning. You can go in early to the tasting. And all these wines that are available are rated 90 points or better. For $350, you might be able to buy five of them, and that's it. This way, you can taste them, and you would never be able to any other way. I mean, it just, you know, so you say, wow, $350, but, you know, for an opportunity to taste.
Yeah, they also mentioned there's a selection of food, delicious selection of food to enjoy. You get a souvenir glass and, you know, 200 wines, like you said, red, white, rosé, sparkling, and dessert wines. To taste, and like you said, with the VIP ticket, it says you get all of that plus an extra hour to taste. So, you get quite a good thing.
It really is. I've been to those sponsored tastings before, and you think, oh boy, you know, that much money, but for what you are tasting, there's no way you're going to be able to afford it any other way. I mean, it just, and what you do, as soon as you walk in the door, instead of just starting to go around the line there at the beginning, you immediately go to the very back of the tasting area and work your way forward, because then you're not stuck behind all sorts of peoples and stuff. And so you get an opportunity to try a lot more of them, all that. And this is where spitting really does come in handy, because if you go around and try all those wines and you don't spit, you're going to stumble out the door and not be able to drive home or anything, unless you're staying at the hotel right there. And if you are, then swallow and, you know, stumble upstairs to your room. So, but yeah, it's
spit respect. Don't quit.
Yeah, and
it's like the spitting as a here's my chance. No, it's not like that. It's a respectful form of it, and it's very common during wine tastings. Just keep that in mind.
It is spitting on that is almost necessary. So there you go. But thank you, Mike. For what you're getting, I mean, it's worth it. And that extra hour for the extra $100 is worth it too, because that way you get in there and you can start hitting the things before all the people start pawing in the door. So, okay. So, Vinovest, the market recap, there all sorts of stuff going on with wines right now and all. He has a little thing here that shows that Vinovest increased by a quarter of a percent over the past, let's see, how long is this? Over the last 6 months, S&P went up quite a bit. The Dow's up, NASDAQ, everything is going up. The big investment is Bitcoin, I guess. That's the one that's really went up. But investment. If you are curious about investing in wine and all that, the program is in archives, so you can go back and check out the archive episode. And there's a bunch of information there and phone numbers and everything to see about investing in wine. Okay.
18th was the show. So keep that in mind. We had Anthony Zhang, I think it was, from the U.S. That was March 18th this year. So check it out.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking it was before then, but yeah, that's pretty close here. Yeah. So check it out. Castle Ridge Winery. They are located in Iowa and Lytton, Iowa. It's southeast of Des Moines, in that area there. And masks are required at the winery. And the wine tasting is wine by the glass, and food service is not available at this time. They are still following strict protocols there. But you can order, and everything is available to go, and you can purchase bottles or cases of wine or prepackaged items like the jellies and all that they offer. So they have award-winning Iowa Fizz is their latest that they've won at Oxy Fiznet Iowa White, and it was the winner of the Governor's Cup at the 2021 Iowa State Fair Commercial Wine Competition. So again, they have themselves some award winners, and so congratulations to them for that. And everything's available. Just go to their website and you can check out what they have, and shipping and everything else. Let's see. I always have a hard time finding their website for some reason. On every time I go to look at this, I always see info@tasselridge.com. There it is. Info@tassel, T-A-S-S-E-L, Ridge, R-I-D-G-E.com. And you can see everything about it. Their wines tend to be a little bit sweeter, so if you're into a little bit sweeter wines, Tassel Ridge is most of the wines are a little bit sweeter. And they even let you know. They don't try to hide the fact that they got sweet wines there. They'll let you know what they've got. Let's see. Barrelhead Farms. Barrelhead Farms used to be Keith Joshua Vineyards, and they switched over and became Barrelhead Farms. They are located in Willcox, Arizona. And they have some stuff coming up. Barrelhead tasting will be closed for the month of August for harvest. They're closing down the entire month for their harvest, which is so hot down there anyway. That's not a bad move on their part. They said activities include, you know, putting on shiny bird tape to keep the grapes safe from hungry critters, watching for mold or mildew from the rains, continuing checking for bugs. And it says with all the rain, high winds, and loaded grapevines, and they'll also be monitoring the fruit to make sure that it is all staying in good shape and good shape, so when they take it in for harvest, it will be ready to make some good wines. They have the 34th annual Prescott Wine Festival is set for this weekend, August the 7th and 8th, Saturday the 7th from noon to 6, Sunday the 8th from 12 to 5, and the VIP access is a half hour earlier, or an hour earlier, 11 to 12. See, a lot of people do that. The VIP must be purchased in advance, $35. Regular tickets, $25. It includes a souvenir, 16-ounce stem souvenir glass and 10 tickets. 10 tickets for tasting. You can get a general admission ticket, which includes a 9-ounce souvenir glass and 5 tickets. And they've got a bunch of wineries from Arizona that's going to be there. So you go around and you can do your tastings and try different wines and all that. It's a fun event, a great, great place down there, a lot of fun. That's coming up on this weekend at Prescott. Let's see, where is it going to feature? Arizona Wine. Prescott Fine Art and Wine Event features an Arizona Wine Garden and Marketplace. I guess it's going to all be at Prescott. So, info@seller433.com. info@seller, C-E-L-L-A-R, 433.com. So if you're in Arizona and you want to attend it this weekend, that's the place to be. And let's see. What is this one? This is this basically the same thing. Nothing new on that particular email from them. And this one just reminding people that they will be closed this entire month of August. So, but that's cool. And let's see. This is what I wanted. Is this? Let's see. There was something else. I thought there was another winery I wanted that was listed here that I wanted to tell you about, but I guess not. Oh, well, maybe it was here. Oh, this is what it is. Okay. The Hue Society, H-U-E. I mentioned the Hue Society, I don't know how long ago, a few months ago, 3-4 months ago. I never heard of it myself. And I looked it up, and the Hue Society is a black wine group, well, I shouldn't say group. It's a, well, let me tell you what their website says here. It's founded by Carlton McCoy, who's a master sommelier. Let's see, why are you doing this to me, computer? It's the website's doing funny things. Okay. Join us. I already joined you. I don't need to join you again. Tahara Habibi and Carlton McCoy are founder of Hugh Society. And Ikemi Deboye is the hospitality director in 2020. It is a group that is underrepresented minorities in the wine industry. And they try to get minorities more involved in the wine industry, in wine and in all sorts of fields of the wine industry. And there's wineries that are actually all minority involved, usually black owned wineries. And they also have distributors and different people in the wine business that are minorities. And so it's usually black and some Hispanic, but mostly black. Is they promote the wine and also the food and music, art, fashion, and all the stuff. But basically, the Hugh Society is celebrating under the canopy of all things black and wine. That's their tagline there. So I discovered them six, seven months ago. I'd never heard of them before. And you know, I mean, you would think that they would want to get their name out there more. And, you know, there's a lot of promo going on about women in the wine business and what they're doing and how they are gaining ground in different areas of winemakers and owners and stuff like that, which is great and it's fantastic. And this Hugh Society is also promoting the black culture in wines, which is great also. I mean, it's nothing wrong with that. I, you know, the bottom line is if they make decent wine, then I'm all for them. If they make crappy wine, then, you know, I'm not going to drink it. So that's what it boils down to with any of them, the Hugh Society with women in it and all that. So, but the Hugh Society has just recently, let me go back to where I was here. The Hugh Society just recently had nominations and for a lot of stuff. I voted for nominations and for the different ones that had it. And they sent me an email. Thank you for voting and participating in the Wine and Culture Fest Fresh Faces nominations. And they said they received over 3,000 votes, which they actually should receive more. I'm a little disappointed that they don't promote themselves more. I really think they should. And they're also having an event coming up on August the 29th in Atlanta. It's a Sunday, and the five nominees in each category will be voted on by a certified body, and with the exception of the people's choice, obviously. The top five categories will be made public in the coming days, and the winners from each category will be revealed at the Brunch Awards, a Roses and Rosé Brunch Award on Sunday, August 29th in Atlanta. The Eventbrite, and let's see, is this going to load for me? Because this thing's been playing games with me. It's going to be at the Kempton Overland Hotel at the Atlanta Airport, so you don't have to travel anywhere. You just go right to the airport, get out there, and you can just boom, you're there. It's an annual event, showcases and celebrates Black brands, winemakers, industry professionals, and enthusiasts. And it will be Saturday night. Let's see. Whoa, it cooks out. It's a whole weekend. I was telling you about the awards ceremony and the brunch. But Friday kicks off opening night with the cookout. It's wine tasting from Black wine brands, small bites, cigar, and wine pairings, live DJ, and roundtable conversation. Saturday night, they are going to have City Winery and Ponce City Market. It's going to be featuring a discussion and culinary chef Todd Richards will be featuring some of his specials and live music and all sorts of stuff. And Sunday is the Roses and Rosé Awards brunch, and it will have enjoy your favorite Southern dishes, open rosé bar, live performances, and celebrity presenters. Tickets can be purchased a la carte or the whole weekend. They range anywhere from $50 up to $250, depending on what you want to attend and, you know, what events and all that. So that is the Hue Society, H-U-E, Hue Society. And let's see, do they have a website? I don't see it right offhand, but I'm sure they do. Just, you know, punch in Hue Society and you will get it. I don't see a website here.
Yeah, I'm on it right now.
Are you? What is the website? What's?
It is the Hue, H-U-E, society.com.
Okay, the Hue Society. Okay.
Yeah. I did the same thing. I did like Hue Society. I go, oh, that ain't it.
Yeah, I know. I did too. And, you know, then, but, yeah, this is the Wine and Cultural Fest presented by Hue. And see, they even say here, presented by Hue Society. They don't say the Hue Society, and yet their website is the Hue. That's odd. But they have other events that are coming up. The Taste of Soul Cocktail and Wine Festival, which is September the 4th. They have Peach Fest at Atlanta Dogwood Festival on August the 8th, which is this coming Sunday in Atlanta. And the Acoustic Soul Brunch Series, which is going to be Sunday the 15th. And so we got other events that are going to be sponsored by the Hue Society. So check it out. And sign up for the Hue Society. I mean, you know, get their emails. They send out emails and just get their emails. They don't flood you with it, I guarantee you. Just every once in a while, it'll pop up on me, but it's not like I'm getting, you know, 10 or 15 emails a week. It's just like, I'd be lucky if I get five a month, and they don't do a lot of emails. So, but again, the annual Wine and Culture Fest to awards for the Black brands, winemakers, industry professionals, enthusiasts, and the Hue Society is celebrating Black winemakers and people in the wine industry. Cool deal. Okay. Let's see. Nominations. Weekend events. Here we go. The 27th, 8/27, the cookout is from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. at Kempton Hotel. The 28th is Rising in Community Every Day from 4 to 10 at the City Winery. The 28th from 10 to midnight is the Rising Community Every Day After Party. The 29th, Roses and Rosé Awards Brunch from 12:30 to 3:30. And then afterwards, the Rosé Lounge from 3:30 to 7:30. So that's August 27th through 29th at Atlanta, Georgia, for those events. Okay. Let's see. I thought I had a the whole show is going to be spent telling you about these things that are coming up and these different peoples and all that other stuff. But that's good because I wanted to tell you about all that anyway and get it out of the way and get it taken care of. Okay, good. $2 million helicopters and vintage fire trucks. That's how Napa residents are taking protection and wildfire protection on their lands. Nasty fires again in California. I was talking, again, I mentioned at the top of the show that Kapowitz was, I was part of the panel last night. He is in Oregon. That's where he is located. And fires in Oregon, he says he's in Portland, and he can start to smell the fires in Portland now. The smoke is in the air enough to start giving them the smell. So it's all over. It's terrible, terrible what these fires are doing. Some neighborhoods in Napa are getting burned. And there's, again, it's part of the new fire that's going on out there. Some are luckier than others. Some of them are burning. Most of this fire that's going on right now tends to be up in the hills. It's not really affecting the vineyards in Napa yet, but yet they're still a little bit concerned about what's going on and what's heading toward them. I mentioned the expensive insurance for fires this year, and some places decided not to get it because of it. They said that it's already burned around them and all that. There's nothing for it to burn anymore. So there are a lot of areas, there are a lot of areas that are rolling the dice and hoping that it's not going to affect them. They have old fire truck in Napa that can run up and down. They have a couple of planes that they can use for dumping water and stuff. A Turbo Commander 690A plane that is sitting at the Napa County Airport in case they needed to dump water in different areas. But they said it's not really the right plane for the job, but at least it is a plane that can carry water if they need it. The fires are more to the north and to the east of Napa. So it's a roll the dice this year, but that doesn't mean that they won't get it later in the year. So they are standing by and hoping that it doesn't come to it. They're counting on the fact that over the last couple of years, a lot of the fires that have went through have been for the areas that now have burned it all away. And so since it's burned it all away, they don't have to worry about the fuel and stuff. They burned all the shrubs and everything back. So it's not as bad. So it is an issue always in that area, though. I mean, it just, what's happened, and, I don't know if what has happened is that those areas burn. Forests burn. They get hit by lightning and they burn. And this happens. It is a natural cycle. Now, you say, no, it's not. Yeah, it is. It actually happens periodically. Usually, what they do is burn areas to try to get rid of the underbrush, which causes it to run like crazy. Oregon has done some of this burning. Nevada has done a pretty good job of keeping the burning. California hasn't, though, because of a couple of reasons. Number one, they haven't had the manpower. Number two, they haven't had the money. And number three, a lot of the areas that they used to do controlled burns on now have houses in them. So they can't do the controlled burns because there's houses all over the place. And when you don't do controlled burns, it leaves the fuel for the fires sitting right there on the ground. And this has become a problem in California. This is why some of these fires are so large. This is why the biggest fires ever in California, the top 10, I think 8 or 9 of them have been within the last 5 years. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So this is one of the problems. People move away from the cities and they want to get out into an areas where it's country. And when they do that, they build in areas that are susceptible to fires, and it comes back to haunt them. For example, the entire town of Paradise that was burned to the ground last year because they wanted to be in a nice area away from the hustle of the city. So it's going to happen. It's you know, this is why they're getting the fires there. The state of business in the alcohol industry, beverage alcohol industry. Let me tell you about this, and that should take care of us for the night. And go visit all these places I was telling you about. It's always fun things to do. A lot of them are open. Some places are closing down. I have to put a footnote here. Before you head out to your wineries and stuff, you might give them a call, because a lot of new restrictions are coming out. This new Delta variant of the COVID-19 has been described as COVID-19 on steroids. It's a nasty, nasty strain. And so if you are going out, I'd recommend mask. I also recommend your vaccination if you haven't done so. But, you know, that's me. You may have your reasons. But call your wineries or call wherever you're going and ask them if they're going to be open, if they're serving, if they're going to be doing anything different because of new restrictions. And a lot of states and a lot of areas are putting in new restrictions. San Francisco is requiring proof of vaccination before you can go into the restaurants. All the restaurants are requiring that you show vaccination cards before you come in. And I read somewhere some of the wineries in California are doing the same thing. So check first before you head out to your local wineries and stuff, because they may be new restrictions that have been put in place just recently because of the Delta strain. All right. The on-premise sales of beer, domestic beer, it has declined tremendously, almost 25%. Imported beer, 8%, craft beer, 10%, brandy and cognac, 7%, and others, 14%. That's wine there that you're looking at, 14% decline. Off-premise sales, beer also has dropped tremendously, a little over 20%, and wine, 12%. Not as bad. Categories that increase in sales, whiskey has jumped up this past year, and so has craft beer, two areas that sort of surprising. Beer has came up, wine has came up a little bit, only about 13%, but not a lot. Off-premise sales, wine 17.5%, but whiskey 32.5% increase in sales. It surprised me when I saw that. Whiskey tends to be the dominating category in off sales. The areas that they say have been hurting the sales of beverages, alcoholic beverages, weather has been one of them. Holidays, not so much. The economy has taken some toll on it. Promotions haven't really affected sales. They've done promotions, but it hasn't made a difference. Beverage trends has helped the demand. And the pandemic, obviously, almost 75% said that the pandemic has helped the demand of alcohol sales. And the restaurant and bar traffic, all of them are saying that cocktails and spirits are up, wine is up, beers is up a little bit, not a lot. Some of them say beer is down in sales, but cocktail and spirits and wine has jumped up. Off-premise sales, spirits, wine, and beer all have jumped up. Spirits, 77% increase in sales over last year. Wine, 66%, and beer, 42%. A tremendous jump over previous year, but COVID. Sales in 2020, they're looking at an increase probably in off-premise, but on-premise, they expect it to level out. This is from, you know, people who've been part of the survey. Let's see, what is this? Most recent quarter on on-premise, the below average, off-premise is above average. So you can really see how the impact of COVID has taken its toll on the state of the business and alcohol industry. It is off-premise sales are jumped up, and wine has jumped up, but surprisingly, whiskey has, according to Boohoo, they have surveyed, whiskey has been the big winner so far on this sales over last year, which sort of surprises me. I don't know why, but it surprises me. So there you go. I've got more things to talk about, but I'll let you go and enjoy the evening, and we'll end it for the night.
All right. Very interesting. Very good stuff. I just took quite a bit there. Note-wise, that's always good. We will close the show out. It is 8:07 p.m. Eastern Time, August the 5th.
Nope.
And we will
let me before we close it out, I want to do one of this is from Wine Folly, and they're talking here about what wine goes with fried chicken. And, you know, I mean, who doesn't love a good fried chicken? And so they said, but the overall, and they list a whole bunch of different wines on it, but overall, their choice for the best pairing of wine with fried chicken is a sparkly, is a bubbly, is champagne or Crémant or Cava, Prosecco or sparkling rosé. Any of those are saying as the top ones. And then they go in and they're looking at some that tend to be a little bit sweeter. Labrusco, again, that tends to be bubbly a little bit. But it surprised me that they pick champagne with almost all of the fried chicken. It's Southern fried chicken and champagne, Nashville hot chicken, extra dry Prosecco, which is bubbly, buffalo wings with sparkling rosé, Maryland fried chicken with sparkling Riesling or Sect, Korean double fried chicken with Lambrusco, Japanese fried chicken with Chablis, which is the only one that's not, and then Taiwanese fried chicken steak with Grenache or Zinfandel. And then we go back to Chicchoin du Polo with Cava and KFC with Corbel, which is champagne. It says the preferred pairing of wine writers everywhere. KFC with Corbel champagne, sparkling wine. So I wanted to throw that out there because that was just, it caught me off guard. I can honestly say I've never had sparkling wine with fried chicken. So
time to try it.
Yeah, time to try it. Yeah, definitely. So, okay.
Yeah, it works. Okay, it is 8:10 p.m. We're closing the show on August 5th, and we will be back next Thursday, August the 12th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Please join us so you can.
Next week.
Guest next week, but we will have a guest later this month.
Yes.
So we will announce more on that at a later date, just to confirm it. So, yeah, everything's good. We will be back on the 12th. Thank you for tuning in. Be safe, and we'll see you next week on All About Wine.
Be safe out there, and see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
All right.